Good morning. I don't know whether this is good news or bad news for you. We're going to do some theology this morning. Oh. Beryl says, oh dear. Anyone know what the word theology means? I'll break it down for you so that maybe it'll help you a little bit. It's a combination of two Greek words. Theos, meaning God, and logos, meaning word or study. We're going to study about God. Is that okay?
Yeah.
If it's not, I'm going to do it anyway, but I thought I'd be polite and ask you. My title today is The Person of Holy Spirit. The Person of Holy Spirit. Okay, anyone notice what was missing there? The. Definite article. Often, we talk about the Holy Spirit. And when we do, we tend to focus on power, not on person. Perhaps when Lisa introduced me, she should have said, the Jed Kelly. Because we don't talk about people like that.
No.
But we tend to do about Holy Spirit. And that can be a barrier. We are here in a Pentecostal church. Mark and I were away at Harrogate at the Assemblies of God conference, and they were reminding us again of our Pentecostal heritage. And one of the issues, I guess, with Pentecostals is we tend to focus on power and gifts. If we're honest, we all like, ooh, the supernatural. But the Bible's got other things. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. I've been looking at loads of books while I've been doing this study, and over the years I've looked at loads of books about Holy Spirit. I guess my overall feeling would be lots of books about power and gifts and very little about person. So you, probably if you get bookshops don't really exist these days, Christian bookshops. You have to go online. You probably have to go to Eden. I buy most of my books secondhand because I'm mean. I don't like spending money. But in this book, The Christian Experience of the Holy Spirit by Wheeler Robinson. Show you how old this is. It was 3 and 6. About 17 and a half pence. Written in about 1920-something. He makes the point that the study about Holy Spirit has a couple of barriers. And these are some of the things he says. This is Robinson. Number one, no theological subject is more comprehensive than this. Wow, there's a statement, isn't it? No Christian doctrine has been left so underdeveloped. It's interesting, you can get books on virtually everything. I like number three. No other doctrine depends on such an intimate relationship to help us understand it. There's a book I was reading, I almost brought it this morning, but I've got a pile of books. But it's The Holy Spirit in Faith and Experience is the title. So we as Pentecostals want to know the experience as well as the doctrine, don't we? It suffers from its detachment from the world of the New Testament. So I've written in my notes, here I am this morning trying to address some of these issues in 30 minutes. No chance. So all I can do is skim the surface and maybe throw a few seeds out for you to go back and think about. While I was away, I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, but on my phone I've got an alarm system. I tend to try and go to bed for 10 o'clock in an evening, and my alarm goes off at 6:30. So somewhere in that 8.5 hours, I'm hoping to get 7 hours. But I often wake up quite early. I'm one of those people I do. I don't know if it's my body clock from over the years waking up early. And I was away at Harrogate, I think, early hours of Friday morning. I woke about 5:30, went to the loo and thought, I've got time. Maybe I ought to pray. You know, that little thing. And me, my normal pattern is I like to kneel down to pray. Don't know if that comes from my Catholic tradition, but I thought, oh, it's a bit cold, I'm not doing that. So I lay on top of my bed, thinking, right, Lord, I'll just talk to you, which I did. And I thought, I think I'll read the Bible. And on my phone, I've got an app that I can read that. So I picked my phone up. I thought, and it says on it, Luke in 21 days. I thought, that's a good idea. I'll read the book of Luke again. So I start chapter 1, I thought, must be ages since I read the book of Luke. I don't remember chapter 1 having 80 verses, but that's what it's got. I'm thinking, I was only thinking about 2 minutes, what's going on here? And this is what Luke 1 says, I hope it's here. It's on my phone now. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled amongst us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. This is Luke writing. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. And we as believers need to know the certainty of what's being taught, even from the front here. We need to be assured that what we're saying has a scripture basis. Otherwise, we start going here, then, everywhere. The Bible uses the phrase, being blown to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So what we believe is important, isn't it? And we need it to be based in the Word. So today, I'm talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to set the basis of what we believe. What I hope to do is give you enough information and insight to begin the journey and provide encouragement for you to continue to learn. The first thing to say, and this is really important, Holy Spirit is God. You all say, we know that. Well, I hope you do. But it impacts how we worship and how we respond. And it's important. It's important right at the start of our study to acknowledge we're talking about God. Time doesn't permit us to get into discussion about the Trinity. Just let us say that we here at Calvary believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God who is Holy Spirit. Some simple starting points for you. Now, many of you will know I've had, in a sense, a formal theological education. 2 years at Bible College, 3 years doing a Bachelor of Theology degree, 1 year doing a Master's degree in Biblical Studies, 2 years doing training to become a minister in Assemblies of God. Very formal education. And I taught at A-level at Clarendon College. And often what you start off with when you're looking at God, you talk about his attributes or characteristics. What is it that makes God different, if you like, from humanity? If you're like me, when I was young, I must have thought I was God because I thought I knew everything. And we learn as we get older, we know very little really. But classically, people talk about God, they use Latin terminology. They talk about omni. Omni means all. Omnipotent, all-powerful. Omniscient, all-knowing. Omnipresence, everywhere at once. Yes, familiar with that? Is that okay? So we're saying Holy Spirit is God. I would expect some of those things to be there so we can say, yeah, it's the same. Here's one. If I ask you who created the earth and the universe, what would your answer be? God. Classically, I think they mentioned it at conference, people use it, again, it's Latin terminology, ex nihilo, out of nothing. Here's what Genesis says. Interesting verses. Genesis 1 and 2, I hope you've got that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Seems to me Holy Spirit was involved in creation. That's what the Bible seems to be teaching, unless I've missed something. If you read the book of Colossians, it will tell you about Jesus. And it says, nothing that was made without him. He is the firstborn of all creation. Things in heaven, things under the earth. 2:15, somewhere around there. I don't know, I'm going from memory. But that's interesting. Father God, Holy Spirit God, and Jesus God, all involved in creation. How many of you realize that believing in the resurrection is crucial to our faith? Absolutely underpins what we believe. Paul says it, I can't say it better than Paul. If Christ is not risen, then our faith is vain or useless. And worse than that, he says, we are still in our sin. Yes? So how was Jesus raised from the dead? Who's glaring at me? Romans 8:11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Perhaps one of the greatest miracles of all time, the resurrection of Jesus, was actually conducted by the Holy Spirit. And there's an awesome phrase. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken our mortal bodies. Which is why, as a fellowship, even this morning, Lisa's encouraged us to pray for people. We're praying Holy Spirit will rise up and do something, aren't we? If he could raise Jesus from the dead, ain't too hard to cure a few ailments, is it? Power. Omnipotence. That's pretty startling, raising Jesus from the dead. We sing songs about it, don't we? Death could not hold him. You know, devil saying, it's all over. Holy Spirit said, think again. Think so, do you? God's everywhere at once. That's what we're told. One of my favourite psalms, Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you too, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. No matter where we go, Holy Spirit, it's there. He's omnipresent. I'm using big words. So he's all powerful. He's everywhere at once. What about his knowledge? Omniscient. That's what the word means, all knowledge. This will be a scripture familiar to many of you. 1 Corinthians 2:10 and 11. The Spirit searches some things. Is that what it says? All things. Even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So, I was talking about my prayer time. If ever you're in prayer and you want to know something about God, unless the Holy Spirit tells you, you've had it. He searches the deep things of God and makes them known to us, reveals them to us. So, he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and he's everywhere at once. Holy Spirit is God. It's important we get that. It's the basis of our faith. Here's an even more frightening scripture. I'd love to, at some point, actually teach through the book of Acts. I think I've told you before, it's one of my abiding stories. When I first went to Bible college, I think it was in the first term, we had a guy who was talking to us, a guy called John Phillips, and he said, I'm going to take you through the book of Acts. And we learned through the book of Acts. He said, what I want you to do, this is the first lesson we had with him, I want you to get a notebook, go home and study, and write down in the book of Acts every reference to Holy Spirit. And what he said was, it's not the Acts of the Apostle, it's the Acts of Holy Spirit. When you read the book of Acts, right throughout the pages is the working of Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Many of you will know this story. I read it in full so you get the gist of it. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. I'd be fearful as well. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Now, Mark and I spent the last couple of weeks teaching about giving. Perhaps that's not the right passage to teach about giving. Did you notice what it says there? I'll go through it for you. How is it, Satan, fill your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? Verse 3. You have not lied just to human means, but to... You've lied to the Spirit, you've lied to God. One and the same. Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is a person. That's where we're going today. Holy Spirit acts as a person. I've used the illustration before, but probably worth knowing. There are lots of things the Bible says about Holy Spirit being a person. It says he can be grieved. When was the last time you upset a chair? Come on, chair, I sat on you yesterday. You upset with that or what? It's an inanimate object. You don't upset objects, you upset people. It says, lots of, I've got scriptures for all of these. I'm not going to go through them. We'll be here forever. He acts as a person. He teaches. He brings to remembrance. John 14, 26. The Holy Spirit will bring to your mind all those things. He will guide you into all truth. When was the last time your wardrobe guided you into all truth? He's a person. He intercedes. Romans 8, 26, the Spirit makes groanings and utterings. He prays on our behalf. He's a person. Thank goodness he does intercede. Because there are times, if you're anything like me, I don't know what to pray. Scripture says, if we speak in a language or in tongues, glossolalia in the Greek, we build ourselves up and we speak to God. So if you want to know what the purpose is when you're on your own, it builds you up. He possesses the essential qualities of a person, Holy Spirit. He has a will. How many of you are familiar with Corinthians 12 when it talks about spiritual gifts? We've had some expression of them today. A message in a language, an interpretation, because we're mostly English speakers, in English. Scripture says he gives as he wills, he decides. So if you're getting frustrated about that, it's up to the Holy Spirit what he gives. He has a thought, the mind of the Spirit, Romans 8 talks about. Here's one for you, Romans 15, 30. Paul talks about the love of the Spirit. People love, objects don't. I'm sorry, I'm hammering this home a bit. Is it okay? Holy Spirit is a person. He can be treated like a person. We've just read in Ananias and Sapphira, he can be lied to. Incidentally, the point there is not about the money, it's about them claiming they were giving more than they did. Peter's not interested, really. It doesn't matter. Just be honest with us. If you've made 100 quid and you want to give 50, that's fine. Don't say you've given 100 and kept 50 at home. He can be tempted, Acts 5:9. He can be greed, Ephesians 4:30. He can be resisted, outraged, blasphemed against. Holy Spirit is a person. He's God, he's a person. And we need to interact with that in mind. Some of us, and I don't want to be unkind, but because of our Pentecostal heritage, we're in Acts, you know, 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost. And we think, in our naivety, we can control and press the button and have power. Let me just get my highlighter pen out again. We're talking about God. Are you controlling God? Oof. But sometimes that's how we think. Press the switch, power. We're dealing with a person, we're dealing with God. Can I say gently, don't be presumptuous and think you know better than he does. And sometimes we have ideas, and we know, don't we, because our ideas are not his ideas. Our ways are not his ways. I've got plenty of books down here. Any of you have heard of this guy, John Owen? Eddie might have heard of him. One of the Puritan theologians. I think he was advisor to Oliver Cromwell. This is quite a recent book, 1677. Seven volumes he wrote on the Holy Spirit. Some great stuff in there. But this one I've been using quite a bit by Rene Pasch, The Person and Work of Holy Spirit. He says this, it's a great quote. If the Spirit were merely a power coming from above, it would be at my disposal and I could use it at will. But if the Spirit is a person, and more than that, if he is God himself, it is I who should be at his disposal and love and obey him in all things. Read that again for you. If the Spirit were merely a power coming from above, it would be at my disposal and I could use it at will. But if the Spirit is a person, and more than that, if he is God himself, it is I who should be at his disposal and love and obey him in all things. That's that difference about seeing Holy Spirit as a person or seeing him as a power. Now he has power, as does God. And I say it often, I'll say it again. God doesn't make mistakes and he's never surprised by anything, so he doesn't use his power in the wrong way. We know the stories of the Old Testament, don't we? I mentioned some a while ago when I was talking about tithing, about the high priest and about the idea not touching the holy place and being careful. Remember the story of the Ark of the Covenant traveling? Some of the guys reached out to touch it to steady it and God went, bam, dead. God has power. But if he did that every time, none of us would be left, would we? It's by his grace that we actually stand and breathe. When we sing these songs, I love them. Everything that has breath. If you're still alive and breathing, praise the Lord. We need to remember, that's why the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord. Oh, and I don't know what it's like for you, but when I pray and get in the presence of God, I suddenly have that revelation of who he is, and I think, oh. You start to feel unclean, but thankfully, if we return to the base word, we know we are washed and cleansed, sanctified. In fact, the Bible says, by Holy Spirit, you have been cleansed, you have been washed, you have been sanctified. So we get in that place in the presence of God and we're saying, Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to appreciate who you are. Help us to do something that glorifies him. We met as leaders this morning, as we always do before the service, and we prayed. And that was one of my prayers. Lord, help us in our service today to lift you up. Scripture says if he's lifted up, he'll draw all men to him. It's not about us, it's about him. Holy Spirit Jesus said, well, take what is mine and make it known. He bears witness of Jesus. Over the years, I've been a Christian 40-odd years now, probably a bit more. I've been in lots of different churches. Some I've been involved in ministry in, some I've just been visiting. But sometimes you get to a place where some of the churches have forgotten who the service is about. It's not about us. It's not about the leaders. It's not about me showing off my latest style. It's about him. It's about pointing. Holy Spirit will only ever point to him. And I've heard some people claim they're moving in the Spirit, and I get a very bad feeling because it's not pointing to Jesus, it's pointing to them. My scripture tells me that's not spiritual. Not Holy Spiritual anyway. Might be some other spirit I don't want to talk about. But it's certainly not Holy Spirit. More and more we need to rely on Holy Spirit to bring him in front of us. See, when Jesus turns up, things change, don't they? I'm going on, I haven't got much more to say. We believe, as a fellowship, Holy Spirit is God. We believe Holy Spirit is a person. We believe he's to be respected and to be honoured. And to make ourselves open, in a sense, to his rulings and not our desires. Those are not always the same things, are they? I wish it were true that all the time my desire was what God wants, but if I was honest, it's not. I might pray the prayer, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. But often my will rises up and wants to do its own thing. Paul says it, doesn't he? The things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. Wretched man that I am, who will free me from this body? Praise be to God, he says. Holy Spirit will free us. I'm going to finish there. I've got a song that I want us to sing because it talks about the presence of the Spirit. Rather than just preach about it, I want us just to make a bit of time. Hopefully I'll have some time so that Holy Spirit can move amongst us. We can submit to God and understand again that grace we have. Such an awesome thing to be able to be in the presence of God. Let's just, if you know the song, you can sing along. If you want to just listen to the words, let's make room for the presence of God. That's really in my heart. Can you play that for us, Steve, please? Thank you.